We were at a candlelight service when we got the shock. The service was at Andrews University for missionaries about to go out to serve. And one of those missionaries was walking up the aisle, and I'm sure on his mind he's thinking about winning souls and, you know, reaching people. But we were wondering what was on his wife's mind, because, you know, not every place is safe. Lots of places don't have good communication, good transportation, good stuff like that. And yet here she is walking up the aisle with a little baby just a few months old in her arms. And Patty leans over to me quietly and says, "She's going out with that little baby. I'd never do that." True enough, when our son wasn't a few months old, it was when he was a few weeks old that we went out and we went to Korea. Sometimes it's not easy to go out. It's not the safe thing to do. Sometimes it's not the sensible thing to do. At least that's what you might be tempted to think. Why do we do this? We went because we wanted to spread the gospel, yes? Isn't that why you go out? Paul did too. I want you to turn with me to our text for today in 1 Thessalonians. Paul did the same thing. He went out. It was not an easy thing. What did Paul think? What did Paul think was important as he went out to spread the gospel? What kinds of things can we glean here from Paul's experience with the Thessalonians to know some ways that we can be ready to share the Bible with others? Because that's what we're thinking about this week, isn't it? Sharing the Bible with others, getting ready to do Bible studies, giving the light of life to others, right? Isn't that what we're talking about? And so we look then at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we see there some things that Paul thought were very important. Turn with me to verse 8. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, "So, affectionately longing for you." Affectionately longing for you. Paul, as he was thinking about them, had a love in his heart. He did not just go out because he felt it was his duty as an apostle. Was it his duty? Of course. That's what apostle means, right? The one sent out. That's what the Greek word that we derive the word apostle from means. It means sent out. Paul had a duty. He was sent out by God. But it wasn't the sense of duty that urged him on completely. He also had an affectionate longing for those he was reaching out to. He says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives." Because why? Why was he doing this? Why was he imparting the gospel? Why was he willing to take this risk? And as we'll see a little bit later, it's a serious risk he took. Why was he willing to do this? It says, because you had become dear to us. Paul loved these people. He didn't grow up there. He didn't know them before he had gone there. He had no family ties there. But he loved them anyway. He cared for them. He affectionately longed for them. Look at verse 7 just before that. In verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother, or just as a nurse in the King James there, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. He's comparing his concern for them with a mother's love. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Because I haven't met too many mothers that would, you know, want their kids to push them out of the way of the train, right? They'd be pushing their kids out of the way every time. That's been my experience with mothers. That's what they would be willing to do. But hey, Father's Day's coming up, right? So we can't forget fathers. So as we read farther down in here, we find in verse 12, he says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own glory. How come? Because God is there, or because they have the affection of a father. They see their work as a father as well. They are doing this as a father who cares for his children. And so this is not just a mother's love, but a father's love as well. He's saying, I care for you as though you were my own children. That's a great deal of concern, isn't it? I wonder, how about you and I? How do we view Lakeland? How do we think about it? How do we care for it? Do we have love for them like that? Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves to do them good? Are we willing to live to do our neighbors good here in Lakeland? Paul evidently was. He cared for them that much. In fact, it was so great. Verse 7, it talks about that he was gentle among you, it says. Gentle among you. He did not just say, hey, you know what you should be doing, let's get with the program. But he was gentle, tactful. He cared for them. And so he had this great love. It was a love that drove him to do things that, I don't know, maybe was a little beyond the call, a little beyond what you might expect, a little sacrificial perhaps. Hold your finger here in 1 Thessalonians 2 and run back with me for a minute and let's look at this from a different perspective. Let's look at this from Luke's perspective in Acts chapter 16. Are you with me? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, they were bidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul and his companions responded to this call. That's why he was over in this area. So one of the first places he went to, beginning with verse 11, he went straight from Troas and went over and stopped in verse 12. It says he went to Philippi. Do you remember what happened at Philippi? Do you remember what happened there? Seems to me there was a big uproar or something, wasn't there? And somebody grabbed Paul and did something illegal, it seems to me, wasn't it? Didn't they grab Paul, put him in prison after they did what? Scourged him. Remember what Paul's complaint was when he was leaving the jail? What? They take us, they scourge us, they put us in prison, and we're Roman citizens. And everybody got really scared knowing that they had done this to Roman citizens. Paul, in this place, was beaten, thrown in prison and everything. Yes, there was an earthquake. Yes, there was wonderful things happening. But remember, this whole city was in an uproar. Everybody was angry, and they beat him without even asking whether he was Roman. And now he goes to Thessalonica. Have you ever looked at a map? If you've got the YouVersion there, you can see the map. They're really close together. Probably by the time Paul got to Thessalonica, he still had scabs on his back. That would remind you, wouldn't it? Are you sure you want to preach the gospel, Paul? Are you sure you really care about these people? Do you remember what happened to you? Is it really worth it? And Paul answered, yes, it is. Praise the Lord. And I think you can too. All of us can answer that question that way, can't we? Because God has called us. Much like Paul had the Macedonian call, we have the Lakeland call. We have the Lakeland call. Come over and help us. And yes, sometimes we've been beat up. And they didn't even ask us if we were citizens of heaven. They just beat us up. And now, here we are. Is it worth it? Do we love enough? Are we willing to sacrifice enough? Are we willing to do that? You see, here it is in chapter 17 of Acts. And when we had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And so they came almost directly from Philippi to Thessalonica. And Paul says in verse 2 of our chapter in Thessalonians, he says, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated, verse 2, at Philippi, as you know, how did they know? Maybe they saw it on him, right? As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. So even though there was trouble, even though there was conflict, even though there was difficulties, Paul was willing to sacrifice for God, to go out and do what he had been called to do. There was no hesitation there. He says he was bold in his God. He had been spitefully used. There was much conflict. He labored for them. Take a look at verse 9. He labored for them. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. This was the difficulties that Paul faced as he was there giving them the gospel. Now, it's interesting because, again, he says, for laboring night and day. Now, that those two laborings there are a little bit different. The first labor in verse 9 is the trouble that he had, the difficulties, the spiritual warfare that he was engaging in. The second laboring was the laboring that you do to get money. And so his regular work as a tent maker. And so what Paul was saying there is we did both. We were there fighting the spiritual battle, but we were also night and day working to earn our living. Sounds like he was a busy guy. Sounds like he did not allow his regular work to get in the way of God's work. That he was willing to make the sacrifice, to go the extra mile, to do the heavy lifting, the toil, the trouble, the conflict for them because he loved them and was willing to make a sacrifice. When we got to Korea, Patty and I, we moved into one of the missionary homes there. They were humongous houses. Big old houses. I think that house had like 4 bedrooms in it, plus maid's quarters. Yeah. And they were built like 1911, if I remember right. These houses were built. And they'd seen the whole thing, including World War II, where the Japanese had come into those houses and had chosen the Adventist compound as their headquarters or one of the barracks for the officers of the guys they had there in Seoul City. They had come into these big American houses and they had taken the doors off the hinges and they had sliced off the bottom with a rough saw. You could still see when I lived in that house, the rough cut at the bottom of the door where they had just hacked it off. Higher. They wanted it about this high so that they could spread the tatami mats out that they slept on. And then they put the door back on the hinge, you know? And so we're in this house. These houses had wiring. Jerry, where's Jerry? Jerry was talking to me this morning about wiring. These things had, I can't remember the exact words, but it's where you string the wire and then you put it around the glass insulator and then you string it down a little bit further. There's a name for that, and I can't remember. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it is. They had those, and those wires were so old in my attic, I watched as the insulation flaked off of them, and just bare wire was sitting there. Oh, yeah. And guess what was this far underneath of that wire? The insulation in the rafters. Do you know what they insulated the house with there? Rice hulls. Oh, yeah. So the first month of winter, man, it was cold there, by the way. It gets really cold because the wind comes right down out of Siberia, washes right over Korea. It's cold. So we cranked that thing up, man. Woo! At least we're warm, you know? Then I got the bill at the end of the month. That bill was $500,000 won. $500,000 sounds really good, doesn't it? Well, at 700 won to the dollar, it's not quite so impressive. But it's still about $800. $800 for 1 month of heating that house. And I was on a missionary salary. It took us a whole year to pay off that 1 month. And after that, I shut off the house heater and we went down and we got little kerosene heaters and we carried them from room to room rooms that we weren't in did not get heated. But we were willing to do that because we wanted to help people. We wanted to take the gospel to them. We wanted to make a difference in their lives. We were willing to make that sacrifice so that others could know Jesus. And you folks make similar sacrifices each month when we meet budget. Each time we have an opportunity to bring water to Cameroon, when we do things like handing out Bibles that Matthew talked about this morning, you too make these sacrifices. This is what it is to be sent by God, to be missionaries for Him, to hear the call, come over and help us. That's what this is all about. You see, Paul was not willing just to give up a few comforts, a few luxuries, a little bit of comfortable living. But take a look at verse 8, where he says, "We were affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you." What was he going to impart to them? Not only the gospel of God. You see, he wanted to preach to them the gospel. He wanted to give them the good news. He wanted to tell them of Jesus Christ, but there was more. It says, not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Paul was willing to give up something to benefit others, to help others, to reach out to others. Paul was willing to give up life itself. Say, I remember someone else who did that, don't you? We're just following in his footsteps. Nothing special. We're just doing what he called us to do, to follow the Master, to follow Jesus where he leads, to give of ourselves, to give up our lives. And yes, our lives are made up of seconds and minutes and hours that we give to serving others. And it's not always just preaching. Sometimes it's helping in other ways, going out into the community to help someone who can't do for themselves anymore. Maybe a senior citizen who is unable to fix something at their house, to paint something. And we can do that. We can help people. We can give them what they cannot do. Jesus did that, didn't he? As he fed the multitudes and also spoke the gospel. These come together. You see, as we go out, we cannot do our duty simply by handing them a tract and saying, "Whoo, glad I got that over with. Whoo, now I feel my conscience is clear. Whoo, now I've done my duty." Brothers and sisters, that love for souls needs to burn in our hearts like it burned in the heart of our Master Jesus Christ. And it needs to take us in places that we might not usually go. It needs to drive us to take time that we might not usually take. It drives us to give to others, to live, to do our neighbors good. That's what it's for, to sacrifice. He was led by God as well. Here they were, they had suffered all of these things, stripes on their back, imprisonment, all of these things. How tempting it would have been to just say, wait a minute, there's got to be an easier way. Maybe we'll just mail stuff out. Let's put it on the radio. That's safer, right? But instead, he put himself out there. Paul was out there for them. And that isn't, I'm sorry, but that's a little more than human, isn't it? to be willing to go that distance. And so they did that as well, to do more than normal. Take a look at verse 2. Verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after we had suffered before in Philippi, right? And were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were what? Bold. We were bold. Where did that boldness come from? Where did courage like that come from? From God, absolutely. It came from God. The Holy Spirit urged them forward. We were bold in our God, he says, to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. What does it mean to be bold in God? To speak the word boldly when there's been so much trouble he'd had. Well, maybe it means that you, are you ready? Maybe it means you have to take a risk to go out there and venture on God. Do you remember there was a certain prince and his armor bearer that climbed up a hill toward a Philistine garrison? Do you remember that? One Prince Jonathan by name. You remember? And he turned to his armor bearer and he said, what? If they say to us, come on up. Maybe God is saying, I'm giving them into your hands, right? How do we know how God is leading unless we start climbing the mountain? Unless we're willing to go into battle, unless we're willing to take a risk on our totally risk-free God, to be honest with you, right? Isn't he? If God calls you to it, he'll see you through it, absolutely. But it looks a little risky sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes we're called on to take risks. But then that calls for faith, doesn't it? That calls for a measure of faith. We have to have faith in God. And if we're out there risking on God, that means we've left what we can do behind. We're jumping out in faith on God, and we have to depend on Him. Are we willing to take that risk? Are we willing to depend on God? Are we willing to do things and answer a call that might be a little uncomfortable for us because we love God and we love others so much? Seems to me I remember Jesus doing that, don't you? Left a pretty comfortable place, wouldn't you say? Heaven, right? And he risked coming to this earth and maybe actually even being tempted. I think Jesus was tempted, wasn't he? And if he was tempted, there'd be no point to temptation if he couldn't have fallen. So Jesus didn't come here risk-free, did he? He came here, but if I remember, he ventured on God. He put his whole dependence on God. And what a salvation he earned for you and I. Wow. Because he was willing to love us in action. Because he was willing to sacrifice. Jesus did sacrifice for us, didn't he? Yes. And because he was willing to be led of God, to venture for God, to go where God was calling, even if it looked scary, even if it looked risky, even if it looked like he was not able, because his dependence was on God. He was led of God. Paul and Silas answered that Macedonian call. Patty and I answered the call to Korea. All of you, by virtue of sitting here, are answering the call to Lakeland. You are part of the remnant church, yes? You have heard the three angels' messages, right? And you know that they are to go to every... Yes. We're answering that call today. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are the people of God called to give the last day message right here in Lakeland, yes? One of the ways we can do that is going out to give Bible studies. This week is a golden opportunity to do that. We're going to have Bible studies practically set up for us. And I want to give you that opportunity to answer that call this week. Again, I invite you to see Darren, to see me, to get in contact with this, to take a time, take a chunk out of Leroy's day so that you can answer that call. He's taking some days to answer the call to come here. We too can answer that call. Because there are people out there who already on their application at the food pantry have said, come over and help us. We want to learn the Bible. They're already waiting for us. And we can reach out to them. And so, I want to give you that opportunity. Let's take a look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Why? Why are we thanking God? Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. If you're reading today from the King James Version, you'll see the word receive there twice, right? The first receive is different from the second receive. And so, again, we have the two words in English that are the same, but different in the Greek. The first receive in that verse is talking about being able to hear it. You said it, I heard it, I received it, I physically got the opportunity to hear the word. Brothers and sisters, that's what people out there are waiting for. That opportunity for you to come and let them receive the word. The second receive there, or in this version, welcome. The second receive there is not talking about the same kind of thing where they just physically hear it. The second one is where they open their heart and receive it into their life, where they allow it to make a difference. If they don't have the first receive, they can't enjoy the second receive. And so we have the opportunity this week to help people receive so that they can receive. We have the opportunity to go out and do good for our neighbor. This week, we can do that. God is so good, and we can thank Him always because we know as we give them that opportunity to receive, there will be those who receive. I just get so excited.